Welcome to the Living Rock Podcast.
Praise God. Let's just pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I just pray that your word will produce a crop in all our hearts, Lord, that it will produce something 30, 40, 50, 100 fold. And that, Lord, together we will advance your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're just continuing our series this morning about the kingdom of God and the way we walk. And the title of my message this morning is, Are You Well Needed? Are You Well Needed? And if you've got Bibles, it'd be great if you could turn to Matthew 13, where Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, being like a woman who makes some bread. Anybody here made bread? Years ago. Yes, I get mine from Tesco's. So Matthew 13, verse 33. Jesus also used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like a yeast, is like the yeast a woman used to make in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in three measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. And then Jesus uses the same parable in Luke 13. And he says, what else is the kingdom of God like? It is like yeast a woman uses in making bread. Even though she only puts a little yeast in three measures of flour, it permeates the whole dough. And Jesus uses this story as an object lesson to illustrate the kingdom of heaven, both corporately as a body and individually, that you can take a little tiny bit of yeast and it permeates the whole dough. So what this morning, I just want to unwrap what the meaning of this parable is and what it can teach us about the kingdom of God and the way we walk. Now, bread as in bread, not money. But it's interesting I say that because I had to be careful here when I looked at this because I was going on a whole new rabbit warren. But bread was central to the formation of early human societies. We read about the Fertile Crescent in the story of Abraham, and that's where wheat was actually domesticated and the cultivation spread north and into Europe and North Africa and then towards East Asia. And this in turn led to the formation of towns and cities as opposed to a nomadic lifestyle that was during the time of Abraham. And it made society become more sophisticated, more organised. And therefore, when Jesus uses bread as an example, it's very significant because bread at that time was actually the very building blocks of society. Everything was around bread. And when you think that Jesus described himself as the bread of life, and he took bread and he broke it, it shows symbolism. And then we talk about money as bread, don't we? We say, have you got any bread? Give us this day our daily bread. And when we pray that, we think about money, don't we? Or things that, possessions or things that we require. But that's another message, and I just thought I'd share that with you. But the word yeast, it comes from the Old English word meaning geest, and it's from an Indo-European root meaning to foam or to bubble or to boil. And yeast is used in the baking of bread as a leavening agent or a rising agent, where we get self-rising flour from. And what it does, it converts the sugars in the dough into carbon dioxide. And these cause the dough to expand as it rises and it forms pockets. And I think the term for that is the dough is proven. And when the dough is baked, the yeast then is killed off by the heat. But the air pockets that are left are set, and it gives bread its spongy texture. And you can then use eggs or you can use sugar in the dough, and this accelerates the growth of the yeast because it actually feeds it. And so from this, we get all sorts of different types of bread. Now, usually leaven, or yeast as it's described in the Bible, symbolises something very negative in the Word of God. Because Jesus said this, he said in Matthew 16, he said, watch out. And Jesus warned them, he says, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. because the Sadducees didn't believe in the Holy Spirit. You see, that's why they were Sadducee. Waited so long to tell that joke. But we read in Matthew 16, Jesus says this, "Watch out," Jesus warned them, "beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." At this they began to argue with each other because they hadn't bought any bread. And Jesus knew what they were saying. So he said, "You are so little in faith. Why are you arguing with each other about having no bread? Don't you understand even yet? Don't you remember the 5,000 I fed with 5 loaves and the baskets of leftovers you picked up? Or the 4,000 I fed with 7 loaves and the large basket of leftovers you picked up? Why can't you understand that I'm not talking about bread? So again I say, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And then at last they understood that he wasn't speaking about the yeast in bread, but about the deceptive teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And Jesus warned his disciples to be on guard against this yeast, because their teaching resulted in hypocritical and faith-denying lives. And so this morning we need to be on our guard of the yeast that we have in our lives, the things that permeate us, the teachings and things that go on in our lives that permeate us. And there are so many things at the moment that are attacking the Word of God. Things like New Age theories, the prosperity message, end time teachings, sexuality, judgment, Israel's place in the world, the apocalyptic prophecies, individualism, repentance and redemption, Christian foundations, or our yeast can be affected by perpetual sin, habitual sin in our lives. Paul says in Galatians 5, he said, "This false teaching is like a little yeast. It spreads through the whole batch of the dough." And God this morning wants us to have kingdom yeast. He wants our yeast to be based on the kingdom. Because without yeast in the flour, the bread cannot rise. And without Jesus and his kingdom, the world cannot be saved. It cannot be changed, because both work silently and unseen. The power of the kingdom is not physical, and yet it produces fantastic results. And the same applies to our own lives. The kingdom and all its teachings need to rise within us. They need to invade us. They need to permeate every part of our lives. Through the parable of the yeast, Jesus teaches us that the kingdom of heaven is alive. It's everywhere. It takes attention and patience to grow it, but it transforms everything it touches. So how do we nurture it? How do we allow the yeast in our lives to grow? Well, first of all, it's important to define that the kingdom of heaven and what it is. And by this, Jesus is referring to his domain as Messiah. In the current age, the kingdom of God exists in the hearts of every believer. Because he says in Luke, he says, you won't be able to say, well, it's here or it's over there. For the kingdom of God is already amongst you. And the kingdom of God is simply this. It's God's redemptive rule and reign on the earth. And later the kingdom will be manifest physically when the Lord Jesus establishes his throne on the earth. We read about that in Revelation. There'll be a blowing of the trumpet and the angel and loud voices will shout in heaven, the world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. So in the parable of the yeast, we learn several things about the working of the kingdom of God in this present age. First of all, it has very, very small beginnings, but it will increase. You see, yeast is microscopic in size, and only a little is needed. You only need a little. You only need a little in the dough, and yet in time it spreads throughout the whole dough. And so that's why it's important that we make sure that our yeast is good yeast. It's the yeast of the Spirit. It's not coloured with teachings or attitudes or habitual sin in our lives, because it permeates the whole dough and it will affect us. You see, it can start in a small way because Jesus started with 12 men, 12 fishermen, who were probably no older than young boys, in an obscure corner of Galilee. But it spread throughout the whole world. And that's the power of the yeast within us. And we mustn't despise the fact that we might feel that we're small or we've got nothing to give. The other week I mentioned a scripture in Zechariah and I actually looked it up and it says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." It starts in our own lives very small. The hand of God is on every person in this room this morning. Every person. God has a plan for your life. I was so blessed when Naya shared that scripture. But God has a plan for your life. It's a plan for good. It's not for bad. It's for success. It's not for failure. We mustn't compare ourselves with others. We mustn't exclude ourselves because we might feel less part of the body or we have nothing to offer. Because God has a purpose for every life. God has a plan. You are not small. Because remember, God stands back and he looks at the whole picture. He sees everything from a different perspective. He sees everything outside of time. And he sees the plan. He sees the structure. He sees what you don't see. So God has a plan, and I feel greatly encouraged by that. There is a little, there's enough yeast, or a mustard seed, another parable about something small becoming really big. The yeast of the Spirit is in all of us, and we must allow it to permeate every area of our lives. We must allow the Spirit of God to knead us, with a K. We must make sure that the yeast touches and influences every part of our lives. Amen? The second thing is that the kingdom of God exerts its influence from within us, not from without. It starts in us. You see, yeast makes dough rise, and God first changes the heart of the person, and the internal changes have amazing external manifestations. I mean, I know that in my own life. My wife says that I change every day and I become more and more glorious, don't you, darling? You're a lot better than you was last week, that's what she says. But that's what happens because we know people that have got saved who've had tremendous testimonies or difficult lives or things they've had to face every day, and we look back and we think, wow, they've really changed. Because the yeast of God has permeated their lives. The gospel influence is a culture that works in the same way. And as we change, we affect the culture, we affect the atmosphere. We affect change, we're agents of change, we can transform. I spoke a few weeks ago about we're influencers. And as the work of God works within us, there's a manifestation outwards and we change the world. We are influences. And that's why our relationship with him is vital. It all starts with our relationship with Christ. The yeast, the Spirit, needs to rise within all of us. Our yeast is important. The yeast permeates every part of the dough and makes it rise continually. So we have to ask ourselves a few questions this morning. I have to ask myself a few questions. What sort of yeast do I have in my life? And because I believe there's both good and bad yeast. And is it permeating my life? Is it changing me? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5, 6, he says, "You boast about this, your boasting about this is terrible. Don't you realize that this sin is like a little yeast? It spreads through the whole batch of dough." And again, just going back to Galatians 5, the false teaching is like yeast. It spreads through the whole batch of dough. So what sort of yeast is in our life? Our yeast defines us. So we need to knead the dough. No, we don't knead dough. We're not talking about money again. But we need to knead our dough in our lives. We need to make sure that it reaches. And when a baker kneads the dough, that's what they're doing. They're making sure that they've got this bread is flour and... How do you make bread? Flour, water, bit of sugar. And then you've got it all in the bowl. And then you've got a teaspoon. You put this little tiny bit of yeast in compared to the whole bowl of stuff. And then you've got to make sure that that pushes through the whole mixture. And it's not like a powder. It's quite, some of it, you can actually buy, I remember my mother used to buy active yeast, and it was a bit like a, almost like a creamy stuff. It smelt horrible. And she'd flick it into the dough, and you had to work it through the dough. So you got this big bit of dough and this tiny little bit of yeast. And we need to be those that knead the dough into our lives, making every effort to make sure that it reaches every part of the dough. And it takes effort, and it's technique, and it's hard sometimes. But we want our characters to be like him. We want to walk like him. We want to make sure that we rise evenly, that we don't have any flat spots or areas where if you make some bread and you don't put it all the way through, it'll rise in some parts and it'll be unleavened in other parts, and it's chewy and horrible. But if you do it properly, it's full of air and it's nice and soft. It's making me hungry, this is. I'd just like to show a very quick video. And I want you to listen to this video. And I want you to... There's a couple of phrases this lady uses. She's American, God bless her. But she's there's no Americans here, is there? No. So she's gonna knead this dough. And there's a couple of phrases that I want to bring out of it. So if you want to just run that for me...
To knead yeast dough by hand, lightly flour a clean work surface and turn your dough out onto the work surface. Flour the top of the dough as well as your hands. Fold the dough in half towards you and use the heels of your hands to push the dough forward. Now turn the dough 90 degrees and then fold it and push it again. Continue doing this over and over again to knead the dough and build the gluten structure. Kneading by hand typically takes around 8 minutes, and you will know your dough is ready when you can round it into a ball and it stands up tall without falling flat. It should be smooth and elastic, and the dough will bounce right back when you press in on it.
There you go. There's a few phrases that she used that just struck me. You push forwards and you turn it 90 degrees. You push forwards and you turn it 90 degrees over and over, over and over. And there are times in our lives, all the time, where we need to be pushing forwards. We need to push forwards in our lives. Because if you're standing still, then you're actually going backwards. If you're standing still, you're actually going backwards. And we're to turn from those things that may hinder us or may stop us going forwards. Now, that doesn't mean that we're aimless, you know, we're turning all the time. But what I believe it's saying is that we make sure that our direction is always towards Christ, that we're not turning to other things, we're not getting involved in other things in our lives. And so this morning, do we need to review our lives? I review my life quite a lot, I have to tell you. And I mean that most seriously. But I just take a few moments to think, what was my life with Christ like this time last year? And how much has it improved? How much have I pushed forward? How much have I changed? And if you can honestly say in your heart that you don't feel that you have moved forward, then you're going backwards. And God wants you to go forwards. God wants you to press on into more things, to press in, to press your dough forwards. And going forwards are the things that we need to turn away from, that we need to keep looking at and thinking, no, I shouldn't be doing that. I need to turn from that. I need to turn from that. She then says that you build structure. Now, structure is not a word that people like in Christian circles, because structure implies that it kills the Holy Spirit. You know, it's very structured. You've heard that say, it's very structured. and that we should all be sort of like, you know, airy-fairy as Christians and just go with the flow, you know? No. Structure is a good thing. Remember the man who built his house upon the rock. He built a structure. Let's read that in Matthew 7. It says, anyone, Matthew 7 verse 24, anyone at all who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise. If we follow the word of God, we're wise. Like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. The rain comes in torrents, the floodwaters rise, the wind beats against that house, but it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rain and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. By following his teachings, what Jesus is saying here is that when we build a structure in our lives, it will last. You know, there are times in my life, and you may be going through it at the moment, where rain comes in our lives. Torrents come. Floodwater rises. There's wind beating against our house. But it won't collapse if you've built your house on the Word of God, if you've built your life on the Word of God. Because we all experience that from time to time, don't we? Tough times. So are we creating a God-centered structure in our lives? Are we doing all we can so that God can do all the things that we can't? Are there adjustments or something that we need to put in place to establish a structure in our lives? Then she says this. She says, it stands up tall without falling flat, and it bounces right back when you press into it. Who remembers the Pillsbury Doughboy? Do you remember the Pillsbury Doughboy? Oh, Mandy does. You remember the Pillsbury Doughboy? So there's this dough you could buy on TV, you bought it, and there was this little man, and he came on, and he had a little tummy, and you pressed him, and he laughed, and his tummy popped out. You remember that? But we're not the Pillsbury Doughboy. But God wants us to be those that when we face something, we won't crack. We'll bend, we'll deflect, but we know who we are in Christ. Because God understands our frailty. He really does. But we have the opportunity to stand in him. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, it says this, we now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars, but we contain great treasure. And this makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by trouble, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. God understands that. And it's almost like God saying that whatever we face, our power has to come from him. We can't do it in our own strength. We have to do it by the power of God. And you may feel crushed. You may feel crushed this morning. And as I was preparing this morning, and as I read that again, I felt that there's a man here this morning who feels very crushed. And in his heart, he said this: the best course of action is to stay down. The best course of action is to stay down. But God wants you to stand tall this morning, because although you're pressed on many sides, God wants you to stand tall in him, because nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, because we have this great treasure in our hearts. So what I'd like to do, I'm going to show the video again, and I just want you to listen again and pick up those little comments that she made about pushing forwards, turning, building structure, and standing tall and bouncing right back when pressed in. I was really, I really believe that that's the word of God for somebody this morning. And I believe that God is speaking to people at this very moment about things in their lives that they need to adjust. The kingdom of God, although it works invisibly like yeast, its effect is evident to all. And yeast does this job in the same way. But no one can deny when you put the bread into the oven that it suddenly goes bigger. I remember many years ago I tried to make some bread and I put too much yeast in. And it rose so much that it went between all the bars of the shelf above. And it was a bit of a job to get it out of the oven. And it wasn't cooked through properly, and it was just a disaster. But God wants us to make sure that we've got structure in our lives, that we turn away, that we worked tirelessly to make sure that it's done properly. Because when we seek him, he will add to you. He won't add to this body, he'll add to you. He won't add to the church, he'll add to you. He'll add to you that you'll see growth in your life, and that will then add growth to us corporately. The nature of yeast is to grow and to change wherever it touches. And when we accept Christ, his grace grows in our hearts and it changes us from the inside out. Now, when I said that, I'm going to say that again. When we accept Christ, his grace grows in our hearts and it changes us from the inside out. And some people might be sat here this morning and say, oh, I couldn't change. I can't change. Yes, you can. You are able to change. Because the power of God can transform your life. Because it exerts a passive influence on the world. But more importantly, it exerts a change in our lives. It can change us. Because God wants you, everyone here, to reflect his glory. God wants us, all of us, to change more and more and more to reflect the glory of God. Now, what we can do with yeast is we can add sugar and eggs to it. And then it really starts to grow. And we need to make sure that we have accelerants in our lives. Because with yeast, you can add water to it, warm water, and it grows a little bit. But then you can add sugar to it, and it really grows. And that's how we get different types of bread, by the things that we add. And it's important to remember that in our lives, and I've said this so many times, that we make sure that we're spending time in the Word, that we worship God and that we fellowship together, because those are the accelerants to our yeast. They will make us expand more. And lastly, the kingdom of God, its effect will be comprehensive. It will be comprehensive. Because as we grow, we will affect everything else around us. In Habakkuk, it says, the earth will be filled with the glory of God. Or the glory, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God, or the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. See, I like speaking when Julian's there, because he audits my scriptures, you see, and makes sure. I saw you then. Just make sure I get them right. So good to be secure in the house of God. But God wants to affect every area of our lives. He wants to change everything by the power of his word. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says this, so all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we're changed into his glorious image. The AV says that we go from glory to glory to glory to glory. So this morning, simply this, God wants to fill you with his life this morning. He wants his life to permeate every area of your life. Every area. I mean every area. He wants to empower you in every way. That none of him is pushed out, but every part of him is pushed in. You may need some kneading this morning. You may need to go away this morning and think, there's things in my life that I need to knead into my life. There's things that I need to make sure are in my life, that they permeate everything. But God is able to make you the person that you think you can't be. I'll say that again. God is able to make you the person that you think you can't be. God is able to make you the person that you think you can't be. Is it only me, but I sometimes think, I would love to be like that. Or you have an image or a vision of yourself. You know, I preach the best messages going down the M6. If I could preach like I preach in the car going down the M6, I would be an international speaker. And I was pondering on that the other day as I was preaching going down the M6. And I felt God really challenged me. And I just felt that come to me, that you are able to be the person that you think you can be by the power of God. And we look at our lives sometimes and we think, oh, I could never be like that. But the Spirit of God can make you like that, allow you to be like that, because God wants you to be the best that you can be. We're going to sing a song. And I was listening to this song as I was going down the M6 this week. I spend a lot of time on the M6. And there's a couple of lines in it that really challenged me. And it starts off, how great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. And for some of you this morning, you may think there is a chasm between you and God. Or there's a mountain, something that is so... When you get close to a mountain, it fills your whole perspective. You can't see anything else because there's this big mountain in front of you. But God says to us this morning that whatever we face, whatever the chasm is between us, whatever the mountain is we seem to can't get over, he can take us over that. He really can. And he can make us the person that we think we can't become. And there's a fantastic line in the... Is it called the refrain? Or the chorus? I don't know. I'm not a musical person. But it says this. It says, the cross has spoken. And I just think that is the most powerful line in any song that I've ever sung in my entire life. The cross has spoken. Because when the cross speaks, there's nothing else to say. There's nothing else to say when the cross speaks. And this morning, the cross wants to speak in some lives this morning. It really does. It wants to say, yes, that is possible. That thing that you're dreaming, yes, you can do it. That situation that you're facing, yes, you can get over that. That chasm that is in front of you that just looks impossible to cross, the cross has spoken, and you can do what God has called you to do this morning. So I'd just like to spend some time just worshipping God, and I would love to pray for anybody this morning that just feels that they've received something, or yes, I identify with that. I would like to be the person that I think I can't be. But God says, yes, you can. Amen. So the meeting hasn't finished. Let's just stand in his presence and sing this song and just reflect on what God is doing in our lives, whether we need to have a bit more kneading, whether we need to turn, whether we need to build some structure, or whether we just need to say, yes, God, I am going to follow you, and I am going to be the person that I think I can't be, but I can because the cross has spoken. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. Search for us online and get information about upcoming events and more great teaching.